We are a week removed from a very exciting Sunday. Anybody here last week for Framley Day? Y'all wasn't here because y'all ain't clapping like y'all was here last week. Y'all evidently wasn't moved by the 12 folks who were baptized and grew in their relationship with the Lord by taking that step of faith, and then to just hang out outside after service with some good food and some music and everything. I heard there was a line dance, but I missed it. Did anybody do the line dance? So we're going to have to work on that. We're going to have a special line dance service, Andrew. I don't know if we'll make it a part of the Sunday worship. You might come in and there's no chairs, you know, so that we can all do that line dancing together. Or we're on a nice day, we'll just go out back after service and do some line dances. But we need to correct that. We have to be a church that line dance. Ain't that right, Dr. Corey? We got to be that kind of church. We could be known for a lot of things, but we need to be known as that church that line dances. It might bring somebody to faith. You never know. It might, somebody's life might get changed in that line dance. You never know. We're talking about being salt and light, and being salt and light as Jesus entrusts us to be the salt and light of the world. We try to take an approach with this just 5-week message series to reframe how it is that we want to be salt and light at Sanctuary Columbus Church. That we're not putting all of the pressure on you individuals to go out and meet some kind of quota for sharing your faith or bringing people, you know, into church. In fact, I am more concerned about what it looks like to be a person of faith who has a life worthy of following than to be somebody who just talks about faith, but your life doesn't reflect that same belief system. I'm concerned about the character and the spirit in which we be Christian rather than just talking about it and not actually living it out. I want it to sink down like into our souls that, as I talked about last week, we are the beloved children of God. Or the week before that, that we are people of compassion. Or that, as Dr. Terry Wardle said, that we imagine the people who have inspired us to grow closer to Jesus, and that we could actually be a part of that ongoing journey for somebody else with some small word. Or as Pastor Micah said, that we would believe that Jesus entrusts us to be the salt and light of the world. For those 12 folks who got baptized last week, they might be wondering, okay, so what's next? What's next? What's next after I come up out of the waters? Where do we go next? What do we do next? Your job description is, beloved, to be salt and light. And where do you fulfill that job description is right here on earth. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who exhibit the characteristics of the king. But Jesus didn't just take you into heaven and take you out of here because you became a person of faith, because you took that step of baptism. Jesus left you right here so that you could go and be the salt and light of the world. What does it look like to be salt and light of the world? Well, a couple of weeks ago, it was my birthday. August 23rd, 1976 is when I was born. Thank y'all. You can still wish me happy birthday later on. Even though you missed it, Holly, it's all right. You can still wish me happy birthday. And my wife wanted to spoil me this day. She wanted me to have something special, Jess. And so she took me to a place called Hammer and Nails. Anybody know Hammer and Nails? Hammer and Nails is this like beauty shop, you know, for men, I guess. It's got, you know, it's got all of the chairs where you can get your hair done. You could also get your eyebrows waxed and your nose waxed and your ears waxed. And then in the back room, they have these chairs where you can get a pedicure or a manicure. And they even have some specialty drinks for adults while they're getting these services done to them. So she took me to the Hammer and Nails for a pedicure. It was like the top shelf pedicure where, you know, you get to pick out a specialty drink and you get to sit in this nice big cushiony leather chair and you get your own remote and you can watch and click all the channels you want and just scroll and nobody's there to tell you to stop scrolling because you get to do what you want. It's your life at Hammer and Nails. And Shala knew that I am the kind of person who likes to, you know, be served. I love to be served. And I love for my feet to be rubbed. I got some nice feet, y'all. Every now and then you might see me in some sandals. I ain't scared. My feet look good. You know, go ahead and look at them bad boys. You know what I'm saying? The toenails are nice. You know, they're soft on the bottom. You would probably want my feet. You would probably want my feet. And as I was sitting there in this nice cushiony chair, the lady comes out the back and, you know, she puts some towels on the floor and then she kind of rolls this thing out that looks like I'm about to be interrogated with some tools or weapons or something like that. And it's got all of these, you know, clippers and sanders, and it's got bottles of soap and lotion and oil, and you're just going to be pampered there for 40 minutes. With your feet rubbed. Man, I love to be served. Anybody else love to be served? Yeah, a couple people who are willing to admit it. Y'all love it. The rest of y'all folk ain't willing to admit it. That's all right. If everyone, though, loved to be served, then no one would get served. Imagine coming into that Hammer and Nails. And we're all in a line, and we all go sit in our chairs, and the lady or the man doesn't come out the back to rub the feet, and we all just sit there looking at each other. Who's going to rub some feet? Which one of y'all is going to get out of that chair and start rubbing some feet? Huh? Is it you? You going to rub some feet? No, you don't look like the kind of person that would rub anybody's feet. You probably might look at the feet and make a judgment call. If the feet look like Pastor Rich, I might go ahead and do it. Nobody comes out of the back room. No one serves because everybody wants to be served, Jessica. Sounds like an impossible scenario. Impossible. But actually, in the Bible, we have such a scenario. A scenario where everybody's in the circle and everybody's looking around at somebody else, and everybody can see that the feet need some attention. Those feet right there need some attention. Those feet need to be clean. Them need to be scrubbed. But everybody wants to be served, so nobody serves. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of the scripture today? Found in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And you can read along with me. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. This is the word of the Lord. The people said, thanks be to God. Let it fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. In the passage before us today, we see a selfless Savior in action. On the eve of his death, Jesus assumes the place of a servant and serves his disciples while they are there eating the Passover, the biggest holiday on the Jewish calendar. Jesus gets up from the table, grabs a towel, pours water into a basin, and begins to wash the disciples' feet. Jesus took the place of the lowest kind of servant, the lowest kind of servant who people called the people of the towel. They were so low in their service. They were called this because it was their one job to take the towel and wash the feet of those who were superior to them. The title of the message today is Grab a Towel. Grab a towel. Jesus did this. Jesus grabbed a towel when the people of the towel were not there present to do the work. And he wants everyone to follow his example of what it means to be a servant. What does it mean to be a servant who grabs the towel to serve those who are around them? He wants us to be people of the towel. And if we're to achieve this, if we're to follow this way of Jesus, we must look carefully at the way in which Jesus enacts this service in this scene where everyone wants to be served. First of all, Jesus took the role of the servant when he had earned the title of Lord and teacher. Jesus had already earned this title of Lord and teacher. He was the great teacher. He taught all kinds of things about the kingdom of God, about who God was and how God worked and how God acted. He had earned the title of Lord because there was no place Jesus didn't go where he did not exercise his authority, even the authority of serving others. Jesus earned the title of teacher and Lord, and yet he chose to take the role of a servant. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who was there at the creation before the beginning of time, who takes on human flesh, and yet he takes the role of a servant. Sometimes a child would wash the feet of their parents. A wife in this particular day would wash the feet of her husband. A friend might wash the feet of another friend in a display of extreme affection, but a servant was made to do it. That was their job, and Jesus took that job. He took the water in a basin and the towel, and he began to wash the human feet that had been filled with all kinds of dirt. In this particular day, the dirt roads were dusty and dirty. They were filled with dung and all kinds of trash and garbage. And these feet, walking into this house, were the ones that Jesus humbled himself and took the role of a servant. His titles of teacher and Lord didn't stop him from grabbing the towel. His title of King and Savior of the world did not stop him from grabbing the towel. Jesus took the towel that no one else wanted to take. They all were in the same room. They all saw the dirty feet. They all saw the water, a basin of water. They all saw the towel, but no one got up to move. Jesus got up. The one who was entitled to sit back leaned forward. The one who was powerful enough to command service stepped lower. The one who had the authority to say, no, you all go and serve me. Jesus did none of that. Because service is a hallmark of Jesus' ministry. In Mark 10, 45, it says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus said, listen, I didn't come here to be served. That's not my role. My role is to serve. He took on the role of a servant, even though he had earned the title of teacher and Lord. And Jesus also chose to demonstrate this service when he had the opportunity to preach a message. You know, he could have come into the room and seen everybody not serving, seeing the dirty feet, and said, all right, here we go. Let's do this one more time. Let me preach this to y'all one more again. Let me talk about service. Let me define it for you. Let me point out the Old Testament scriptures that are about service and all of that. He could have said, hey, look at me. But he didn't do any of that. He didn't preach a message. He didn't write an essay. He didn't give a lecture. He demonstrated the service. I can imagine that there maybe was some commotion, you know, going on. They're talking about the Passover. They're maybe talking about some things that Jesus had done and places they had been where they saw the kingdom of God at work, folks who were healed and set free, and all of this activity was going on. Jerusalem was popping right then. There were people from out of town and everything, and here they are in the room, and all of a sudden, they look around. Do they even notice that Jesus had gotten up? Did they even notice that he took off his outer clothing and then wrapped himself in a servant's cloth and towel? Did they even notice when he got up and he filled the basin with water, and then he began to come over closer to each and every person and wash their dirty feet? No, Jesus didn't preach another message. Jesus lived it. He didn't give another lecture. He didn't say, all right, let's go over this again. Man, y'all just ain't getting it. No, Jesus gave them an object lesson. An object lesson, something that serves as a practical example, a principle of an abstract idea. Okay, they're not getting what service means. They're not getting what it means for them to go be these kinds of people who are salt and light into the world. So let me demonstrate for them what it means to be a servant. So there's no misunderstanding. Let me show them. So there's no confusion. Let me demonstrate the behavior that I desire for each of my followers to follow. When Jesus could have preached a message, he demonstrated an act of service. And it was voluntary. It wasn't coerced. They didn't draw straws, and Jesus got the shortest straw. I'm like, all right, I guess I got to be the one to wash feet today. There wasn't any, mini, miny, mo. There wasn't duck, duck, goose. There was no game to decide who was going to be the one to wash feet. Jesus looked, saw feet, and responded to the need. Maybe it took the first person before it caught their attention. Maybe it was the second person. And finally, it caught their attention. Maybe it was the third person, or the fourth person, or the fifth person. We don't know. At what point did it catch the attention of the disciples in the room? Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, is washing feet. That's the job of the servant. One of y'all should have did the job. Maybe they looked at Bartholomew and was like, Bartholomew, don't even be anybody. Know your name. You're not mentioned. You're rarely mentioned in the Gospels at all. You should be the one to go and wash some feet. Because Peter like, nah, it ain't going to be me. Huh. Not me. At what point did the disciples pay attention and notice that their Savior, their Lord, their Master was washing their dirty feet? And it stopped them and say, man, what's happening? We didn't read that section, in fact, in between verse 5 and 12, where actually Peter does stop. Hey, Jesus, what are you doing? Because you know Peter got to step up and say, what are you doing? And Jesus says, I am washing feet. What does it look like I'm doing, bro? I mean, feet is dirty. Feet need washed. I'm washing feet. And though Peter says, don't do that. Jesus, you're Jesus. And Jesus says, listen, bro, if I don't wash your feet, you can't share anything else that I have in the kingdom. Ouch. If I don't do this for you, then you can't be a part of me in my kingdom. Well, Peter, then Peter goes overboard. Well, hey, listen, don't just wash my feet, then wash my hands, wash my head, wash my underarms. I mean, get all of it. Everything needs to be clean. And isn't that just like the kind of false humility that we find in some folks? The false humility that says, oh, no, Jesus, you can't wash my feet. And then when Jesus says, well, you don't have no part of me unless I wash your feet, then you go overboard and tell Jesus exactly what else he needs to do. Oh, well, Jesus, don't do it that way. I got some other ideas. I got some other ways for you to clean. I got some other ways that you can work this out for me. I got some other plans. Since you're now going to serve me, I got a list of things to serve for me. When I picture this scene, I can see Peter, but I can see myself. I want to be served, but Jesus served those who did not deserve to be served. He served those who did not even deserve to be served. It's astonishing enough that Jesus takes the role of a servant and washes the dirty feet of the disciples, but even more astounding is the fact he does it knowing full well whose feet he's washing. He's washing the feet of those who will fail him. He's washing the feet of those who will turn against him. He is washing the feet of those who will doubt him, and he insists on washing these undeserving feet. He washes the feet of Peter, knowing full well that Peter will deny him to save his own skin. Before the night would end, those same feet would stand at a Roman fire and deny any relationship with Jesus. He went to the next person. He stoops down and he washes the feet of Thomas, the Thomas who had lots of questions about the character and identity of Jesus, all the way up until the point where Jesus is resurrected in his new body. He still questioned and wondered and doubted. That same Thomas would not be found at the cross of Jesus. And Jesus even washes the feet of Judas, that the same feet by this time already had betrayed Jesus. The same feet who at the earliest time in which he is called into ministry to follow Jesus have been plotting and planning against Jesus. Those same feet who would stand in the Garden of Gethsemane and kiss Jesus on the cheek, signifying he's the one that you want to capture and take away. Jesus washed those feet. He washed the feet of those who did not deserve to be served. He washed all of their feet. And if you can imagine, there are 12 people around you and 24 feet. They are dirty feet. Some of them stank. Some have some really hard bottoms. Some are cracked. Some got some long nails and some hangnails and some toe jam in them feet. You only got one pair of nice, smooth feet, and they belong to me. That all the other 11 feet, whoo, they belong to the ones that you love. All the other feet, they belong to the ones that you work with. All those 11 feet, they belong to the ones who question your motives, the ones you have conflict with. You get the picture? These feet right in front of you are the feet that Jesus says, do as I have done to you. And you could hear the same pin drop just like you hear right there. Because the reality is this. I know God wants me to be a servant, but I don't like being treated like one. I don't like being treated like a servant. My pride will say on one side, do you see my acts of service? Hello, somebody. And will you not say, there goes a servant of God, Richard Wesley Johnson, selfless servant. Or my flesh will say, hey, I done already put in my time serving other people. I'm a pastor now, and I'm a parent now, and hey, I've been married 20 years now, and hey, we've been friends long enough. Listen, it's your turn to serve me. My flesh says, I deserve to be served. But Jesus' example suggests otherwise. Jesus' example suggests that there is no title that eliminates or alleviates you from the act of service. Jesus' work suggests that even those who are dirty to you, even those who are disgusting to you, even those who are discouraging to you, that Jesus says, go and do to them as I have done to you. His example suggests that loving has a means of taking on the role of a servant and caring for the needs of others in simple acts without expecting anything in return. And to do this not only for those who treat us well, but even for those who disappoint, hurt, and even feels betraying to us. Now, hear this. This does not mean that we don't have hard conversations. Jesus had plenty of them with Pharisees and disciples. Even his family, he had some hard conversations. So Jesus is not saying, don't have hard conversations. It doesn't mean that people aren't held accountable, because Jesus spoke out about how seriously he takes mistreating the marginalized and the exploited and the under-resourced of our society. Jesus is serious about that. So he's not saying, hey, let's just gloss over those things. Don't hold anybody accountable and don't bring up any hard conversations. But the aim and the desire and the default and the charge to Jesus' followers is to wash the feet of those around us. The same feet that Jesus washed right then will become the leaders of the church later on. A new movement and a new way of life where they would be sent out, that they would find and they would encounter people who didn't like them, people who would be enemies to them, people who would betray them, people who would turn their backs on them, throw them into jail, challenge their very way of being. Jesus said, I am calling you to go out into this world to be the salt and light by washing the feet of those around you. It's hard to wash the feet of people you see as your enemy, right? Which is why Jesus saw the people in his circle as his friends. He saw them as loved. Regardless of where they were on their journey, regardless of the struggles they had, regardless of the ways in which they would treat him, he saw them as the beloved children of God as well, worthy of service. He saw them as his friends. It's hard to pray for somebody who you feel like is your enemy. It's hard to serve somebody who you feel like is your enemy. It's hard to be next to somebody who you feel like is your enemy. But when you see them as friend of God, when you see them in the way that Jesus sees them, it kicks into another lens about how you might be able to see them so that you might be able to serve them. Mother Teresa is found as saying, if you can't do great things, do little things with great love. If you can't do them with great love, do them with a little love. And if you can't do them with a little love, do them anyway. Love grows when people serve. So imagine a place where you don't have to worry to hear the needs of the people, but we have eyes to see, and we grab a towel. Ooh, it would have been a really good illustration to give everybody a towel today, huh? And I don't mean like one of them Steeler towels either. I ain't talking about one of them for them Steeler fans up in here. on this section, some who are wearing yellow. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about a towel of service. A people who love like Jesus, love the disciples to the very end. Can you see a community where we are known as the towel grabbers, the foot washers of the city, where we practice this act of service in our homes, on our jobs, with those we serve in ministry with, and those who are around us? Imagine being able to go to a place like a store or a restaurant where people are paid to serve, but instead of treating them like servants, you treated them like friends. Might that even change your demeanor? Imagine someone in your family, a roommate, a spouse, a child, a parent. You know the attitude that they carried with them into the room last week, maybe even today on your way to church, when which you, instead of responding with that same energy, you chose to use your freedom and grace to serve them in some way. What if the rooms we entered, the living room, the boardroom, the bedroom, the first thought came, how can I serve you? How might I serve you? Who is that person, beloved? Who is that person in your 12? The one that has hurt you, the one who doubted you, then crossed you. They didn't let it go. They let you down. And it hurts so bad that the self-protecting part of you bubbles up with anger, causing you even more hurt. You want to be healed. You want to stop that. Serve them. Who's the person in your life that hasn't supported you because they've got their own issues? They got their own stuff. Stuff that you can't control. Issues that you don't have any part of. That person, Jesus says, do to them as I have done to you. If I can make it personal, what's that one thing that nobody wants to do? Nobody wants to do it. At work, it's a project. Nobody wants to do that project. Everybody's avoiding it. At home, it's the thing that everybody sees, the chore, but people just keep walking around it, acting like it's not there, and it certainly ain't their job. What about that thing? At church, ooh-wee, y'all like, wait a minute, I knew this sermon was going to talk about those positions, those serving positions where we're open. We got two services next week. They want to fill some positions. Now I know his motive for preaching this message. What is it at church? Aha! What is it at church that's being avoided? It's being looked over. Beloved, what is it about the people in your life, the places? And if I could even be so bold, what is it for you who have those titles and those ranks and those positions and other people are serving you time and time again, but you've lost your gratitude? You've lost a hold of your ability to be thankful for others who are serving you. In fact, the folks who are serving you might be just about 30 minutes or 30 days or 30 months from saying enough. Enough. Do you see that I have needs as well? Beloved, here we are, a people who will choose to serve the way in which Jesus served by grabbing a towel and washing the feet of those who are closest to us. Let us pray. Lord, might you bring to mind people whose feet are dirty to us. We're sitting in that circle and we see people who are close to us as well as people who are far from us. We see those people in mind, who have not been favorable towards us, make us feel very uncomfortable. God, we acknowledge that there are times when we just don't feel like we have the strength to serve, let alone the heart. May we find your strength today. May we find your heart by simply opening up our hearts and our vision to grab a towel. Lord, for those who have positions of leadership and authority, may they be humbled. Whether they've got that authority by right that they've earned or by relationship that they were just born into, may they use their privilege or position to reposition themselves as a servant. Lord, we can look at all of the ways in which it is to influence this world for Christ, but if we don't have the character of Jesus willing to serve, if we don't have the character of Jesus who sees the need and grabs the towel, we'll lose our saltiness. Our light won't be very bright. I pray, Lord, that as we even imagine this, that we would see how you have served us, undeserving. How you have served us, Lord God, so needy. How you have served us, Lord God, at our point of desperation, when we were filthy, when we were dirty, when we were undeserving. You call us close to be your very own, and you washed us. By the blood of your sacrifice on the cross, you washed us, God. You cleansed us, not just on the outside, but on the inside as well. You removed dirt and grime, surrounded our heart, all of those dark places. We thank you. And in that same spirit, may we fulfill the command to love others as you have loved us, and you command us to love ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.